You're listening to the weekend podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
But if we haven't had a chance to meet, my name is David Garza. I am the young adults pastor here at Palm Valley Church. And been working here full-time for over 11 years, and it's been an incredible 11 years. It's been a joy to be able to work alongside Rick and see what God is doing here at Palm Valley Church. This summer, I had a really cool opportunity to travel with Rick to Malawi, Africa. We have some ministry partners there that we've been working with for a long time, and we were paying a visit, and we had a chance to go on a short safari boat ride down this river. And we're going down this river and stopping every now and then and checking things out, and I realize we are absolutely, completely surrounded by hippos. They're everywhere. I mean, literally, there's hundreds of them in this river. And I've seen enough National Geographic and Animal Planet to know that they are the number one deadliest animal in all of Africa. And we're surrounded by these things. And these huge, massive, aggressive beasts that can actually move pretty quick in water, when they're in water, all you really see above water is their eyes and their nostrils. That's all you see. Massive creature down there, and that's all you see. And every now and then, one would just disappear and dip under the water. And in that moment, I would think, we're dead. That's it. It's coming for us. It's over. This is how it ends. And discerning my fear, Rick just leans over and he looks at me and says, "Don't worry, David. If you fall in, I'm not going after you." Thanks, Rick. But I was deeply honored when Rick asked me to speak this weekend. But I was struggling a little bit with direction and what to talk about. There's a lot going on. You know, it's Thanksgiving recently. Should I talk about gratitude and giving thanks? Baby dedications. Maybe I should talk about just the value of family. Black Friday, maybe talk about greed. But I put some thoughts together. I felt like I had some good direction, and I put a message together, and, you know, I felt like this is going to be good. It seemed a great weekend. And so then I met with Rick and presented my idea. Rick, here's what I got. And I'm about 2.5 sentences into explaining what I'm doing. He just says, "No, stop. Don't do that." I'm like, "Oh, okay." He says, "David, what is a message that you believe God has for the church?" He looks at me and he says, "David, what is something that is burning in your heart that you believe God wants you to share that needs to be shared on this weekend? Well, if we split you open, and just what message would come flowing out?" And I was like, "Oh, okay, no pressure." But I in prayer and in studying, I believe God has a message for every single one of you that are in here today. And so as we delve into that, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this gathering of believers. I thank you for what you're doing at Palm Valley Church. God, I believe one word from you can change everything. I believe you still have that power. You still change lives. And Lord, I believe this message is for all of us. So I pray, God, you would give us ears to hear your message, to tune into what you have to say to us, and give us a heart full of courage to act on that message, and that you would step in and change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Rick often says that blood, sweat, and tears have gone into the ministry here at Palm Valley Church, and it's true. Most of the blood he talks about was mine. So years ago, we were doing a big remodel on what is now the chapel in the north building, and I was helping with that. And so I was on the second floor. Try to picture this. I'm on the second floor behind a wall, and I'm installing insulation. So I have these strips of insulation, and I would hold them up to the metal stud, and with my left hand, I would drill in just a couple screws to hold it in place. Now, I'm trying to get it done fast. I'm trying to be efficient and get it done real quick. And so in my haste, I'm moving along, putting the insulation, and I step off the ceiling onto what is ceiling tiles, which ceiling tiles hold no weight. They're basically decoration. And so essentially, I fall from the second story through the ceiling and land on the hard tile floor in what is now the northernmost hallway. It has carpet now. It didn't then. And so I land on the tile, trying to figure out what just happened. And I look up, and kind of like in slow motion, I see just rubble just coming down to land on top of me. And there's ceiling tile, and there's metal grid, and there's a whole AC duct came down on top of me. And so I'm climbing up out of this rubble. And in that moment, more than anything, I'm just embarrassed. I'm like, I just fell through a ceiling at work. And so the first thing that hurt was my ego. But I still had my drill in my left hand. Fortunately, I didn't fall on that. So I'm climbing up out of the rubble. I'm trying to joke about it and play it off. Oh, no, the ceiling's broken. You know, someone walks up to me and says, David, your hand. Look at the drill. I'm fine. And then I look at my right hand. And I realized something happened, and my hand is a bloody, mangled mess. So I realized later what happened was, as I fell, just out of reaction, out of instinct, I grabbed onto one of those metal studs that has a little bit of a sharp edge on it. And so as I fell, it sliced my hand. I mean, deep lacerations all over. Actually, one cut was deep enough that I severed the ligaments on my right index finger. I required surgery to have that reattached. And so to this day, I can't actually fully straighten the finger. And now you're going to stare at it for the rest of service. I'm used to it. It's okay. And no, I can't just simply force it straight. As I've explained it to people, I've had people actually, no, David, just let me. No, it doesn't happen. It doesn't work. But the worst part of it, honestly, the worst part of it was after I showed up to the emergency room. So I show up to the emergency room, and I'm bleeding all over the place. They take me to this room, and the nurse just walks in casually and looks at it, and his first words are, that's a dirty wound. We're going to have to clean it, which it was a construction site. And so dust and insulation, all kinds of stuff's in there. And the rubble filled, all of it. So I think, okay, fine, you know, avoid infection. Let's clean it. So we put it under a faucet, and they start running water on it, warm water, and it hurts. I mean, any kind of contact right now, it was just hurting. So I'm keeping it under the water, trying to rinse it off, and I hear the nurse rummaging around in a drawer behind me. So I turn, and he turns, and in his hand is what looks like a small brush. The kind you would use to, like, scrub a shower or shine a shoe. And so, mind you, no painkillers at this point. So he just grabs my wrist and just starts scrubbing. And I don't, it may have just been seconds, but it felt like an eternity. And it was seriously some of the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. And so once it was clean enough, then came the needles, because they were going to have to get some stitches. And by the end of it, I had like 20 stitches all over my hand. But they needed to get the hand numb to be able to work with it. And there's a few nerves that go in the hand, if you're aware of that. So it took a few shots to get it numb enough to where the stitches go in. Then came the surgery. Then came weeks of rehab afterwards to try and get mobility back in the hand. And during that time, I actually had to wear this interesting-looking splint-type cast thing that extended up, and it had a little rubber band attached to my fingers so I could work it out. It looked kind of silly. And I actually, for the first few weeks, I had to try my best to keep my hand upright like this, which led to being the target of a few jokes, naturally. So we'd be in a meeting and someone asked, yes, David, you have a question? Or, anyone volunteer to stay late today? Some staff members who shall remain nameless took it upon themselves to practice their altar calls around me. So, anybody struggling with sin tonight? Thank you. I see that hand. It was great. Great times. But the point is this. Is today I have pretty much all mobility in my hand. It's healed properly. But it required a painful process to ensure that it would heal properly. If I had just pretended it was fine, oh, it's okay, it's not that bad, I would have risked infection or losing a finger or an infection spread. There's all kinds of things that could have gone wrong by just ignoring it. If I would have just, I just got to have a positive attitude about it, well, that's not going to help anything. No, there was a painful process that I had to endure to actually go through this. If I would have just pretended, I'll just, with time, it'll get better. No. Can you imagine? I show up at the emergency room, bleeding all over the place. Nurse walks in and says, oh, don't worry, David. Time heals all wounds. One, that's malpractice. Two, that's ridiculous. We know that that doesn't work that way. We know that there's an issue here, a very real wound that needs to be addressed. And that process may be painful. We get that. We understand that when it comes to physical wounds. However, I believe there's many people that have wounds in their hearts or souls that have not healed or have not healed properly because we're not addressing and willing to enter the process for that to be healed. The hurts that come in life, whether it was a disappointment you faced, a rejection, whether it was something not working out, you put your hope in something and you face disappointment, whether it's a loss of a loved one, whether it's some harsh words that were spoken to you that still linger, those things, oftentimes, if you just ignore it, it's not going to get better on its own. If time heals all wounds, why does the memory of that moment, of that hurt, why does that come back to mind so vividly? If time heals all wounds, why were those words that were spoken still lingering in your mind? If time heals all wounds, why is that grudge still there? Why is it when you hear that person's name that if time heals all wounds? I would say, no, friend, time does not heal all wounds. There's no medicine in the world that can heal a broken heart. There isn't a surgery that can mend a crushed soul. There's no pill for the weight and the burden of sin. And the worst part is sometimes in our pains, in our hurts, sometimes we turn to destructive things to try and dull the pain. Maybe for some it's turning to substances. For some it's food. For some it's lavish spending. For some, it's throwing themselves into relationship after relationship, hoping someone will come along and will just make everything go away and fix everything. No one can be your savior except Jesus. Those things that we try to find solace in, those things that we try to use to remedy, at best, they offer a temporary reprieve. And at worst, they will take you further into despair or maybe even open wounds of their own. Today, I wanted to let you know that there is a better way. There is a way that we can find healing. There is healing that can be found in bringing our pains and our hurts to God. This is something He wants us to do. Psalm 147, verse 3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. This is something that God specializes in. The one who designed the human heart, who created the human soul, He actually specializes in stepping into the brokenness of our lives and bringing healing there. And I believe the first step to gain that healing, the first step to access that is we have to acknowledge that the wound is real and that it's still there. Healing or being healed doesn't mean pretending everything is okay. Healing doesn't come through denial. Pretending everything is fine may actually impede and get in the way of your healing process. So I believe the first major step is to actually admit that, yeah, it's still there. Those things that happen still affect my decision-making today. That disappointment still causes me to lack trust today. Those things that were said, that they hold me back from really trying to live as best as I can. To admit that those things are still there doesn't make you a lesser person. It makes you honest and real. So the first step is to admitting that, yeah, there's still something there that needs resolution. The second step is then to come to God in faith that He can bring healing. We see a picture of this in Mark chapter 5. We see a story of a lady who has an ongoing, persistent hemorrhaging condition, which in that day and age has all kinds of negative consequences in her life. First of all, she is suffering physically, of course, but it also means in her society, socially, she can't interact with people on a regular basis because she's considered an outcast because of this condition. She's looked down on, a second-class citizen, if you will. And it even affects her spirituality. Because of this condition, she can't just come to the temple and worship like everyone else. She can't just come to the temple and offer sacrifices like everyone else. She can't just come and engage in spiritual things like everyone else because this condition has rendered her in a status of uncleanliness. So she can't just come to the temple. Every area of her life is suffering because of this condition. And she actually, we see, she takes a pretty aggressive stance against it, and she tries everything that she can to try and fix it herself. But it only gets worse. It doesn't work. And she falls further and further into despair, further into hopelessness. But she hears about this Jesus guy. She hears about this Jesus who is healing things that have never been healed before. She hears about this Jesus who is talking about God in ways that have never been spoken before, that he is offering hope in new ways. Maybe he could bring healing. So she does whatever it takes to get to Jesus to find healing. We see the story in Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 24. It says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him, talking about Jesus, a huge crowd around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Her best efforts and the best medicine at the time could not find a solution. And now, not only is she still suffering physically, but now she's lost hope. She's tried it all. She's been disappointed time and time again. And now she's financially broke. She is going further and further into despair. But the story goes on. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. This is the healing in Jesus. And so, after all hope was gone, in the midst of her despair, she reached out to Jesus. She had tried her best, but she found her healing in a faith-filled encounter with Jesus. She pressed through the crowd. A mass of people who looked down on her, a mass of people who thought negatively about her because of her condition. She didn't let that hold her back. She pressed through the crowd because she knew, I just need to get a hold of Jesus. And she reached out to him in faith. And she found healing and her life was changed. I believe some of you this morning are hurting. And maybe like the woman in the story, you're starting to wonder if it'll ever change. For some of you, you've been carrying the wound so long, you've simply accepted it as, this is just part of my life, this is just who I am, this is just the way it is, nothing will ever change, this is just it. For some of you, maybe the wound is a lot more fresh, this is a recent thing. For you, I would say, please don't turn to destructive sources to try and find solace. We have our healing in Jesus. But for those, if you've been carrying this for a while, I want you to know there is always hope in Jesus. You don't have to let that wound continue to hurt you today or tomorrow. You don't have to let what happened to you dictate the kind of person you will be. You don't have to let what was said dictate your decision-making and the way you view others, the way you view yourself, or the way you view God. You don't have to let that happen. You can bring it to him in faith. Be real about it. Be honest with yourself. Bring it to him in faith, and we can find healing there. This is something God wants us to do. When we come to God with this, he is not bothered by it. We are not a burden to him. This is something he wants us to do and he asks us to do. Psalm 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and cares to God because he cares about you. He is not off put by when we come to him with our brokenness. He sees it all, he knows it all, and he wants to step in and bring healing. And so today I want to give you a moment. If there's something you've been carrying, if there's a very real wound in your life, today can be a moment where you have a faith-filled encounter with Jesus and find healing. Would you please stand with me? The woman in that story, she had to press through a crowd to get to Jesus. She had the faith. She believed he could change things. And in that moment, she had to press through. Some of you today, you're going to have to press through some stuff. You're going to have to press through some shame. You're going to have to press through the thoughts of what would they think about me. You're going to have to press through some guilt. You're going to have to press through thoughts that will hold you back. Friends, don't let anything keep you from having a faith-filled encounter with the Son of God. Don't let nothing stand in the way. You can find healing today. You don't have to carry that burden anymore. You can give it to God. In just a moment, we're going to pray that God would step into those broken parts of our lives and bring healing as only he can. But I believe there's some of you who need to take this a step further. You will find a healing. You will find a breakthrough in joining with someone in prayer, being able to open up about it and be real and honest with another person with no condemnation, no judgment, just joining with someone in prayer. After we dismiss, there'll be some prayer partners up front for you to come and pray with. And I believe some of you will find your healing there. You will find a new level of healing and resolution there. Don't miss your opportunity. There's no judgments, no one to look down on you. This is a place where broken people come and find healing. Let nothing hold you back. If you've been carrying this burden, carry it no more. We have a God who provides healing. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, all across this room are burdens and hurts and weights, regret, shame that have been burdening your people, weighing them down. God, in this moment, we ask for healing. We ask you to step into the broken mess of our lives, of our past, of our present, and bring healing as only you can. God, for those who are losing hope, they're on the brink of giving up, for them, I pray, God, you would renew their faith, you would renew their hope, renew their courage to follow you and to trust you. God, for those who they have been wounded by someone, that person is on their mind right now, I pray, God, that you would bring your grace and your healing, Lord. God, for those who have had some words spoken over them that are still haunting them today, they're still hurting them today, I pray you would set them free from those, God. Because your word says that we are loved. Your word says that we're accepted. Your word says that we are cherished. So God, I pray your words would overwrite those words and set your people free. Lord, for those who are carrying some shame and guilt, God, I pray that you would remove that and replace it with your love, your joy, your grace. God, for all of us here in this room, Lord, we bring our brokenness to you, and we believe that you can heal. We believe there is no other name that we can find healing, God. It is in your name. So, God, we put our trust, our hope, and our faith in you. We trust you with all of it, and we say, Lord, come and bring healing to your people. Set us free, and by your Spirit, empower us to live the life you've called us to live in freedom, to live in wholeness, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Palm Valley Church, we have a healer, and his name is Jesus. Prayer partners will be up front If you want to come forward and receive prayer, you're welcome to do so. God bless. You are dismissed.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.